The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
Well, glory to God. Good to see everyone here this morning. Amen. I'm surprised to see some of you here. I didn't think you were coming. You must have drove right through the wind to get back from Virginia. Oh, you didn't go. Well, no wonder you're here. All right, yeah. Well, we're going to have a great service today. Planning on it. We got some things to pray about, and I'll bring that to your attention in just a few minutes. But for the moment, let us pray and ask the Lord's blessing for what we're doing. Y'all ready to pray? Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' wonderful name, we come to you. You are the King of glory. We bow before you. We worship you. We thank you, Lord, for all you've done. And Lord, as we've been studying about prayer the last couple of weeks, Lord, ignite our prayers. Let them be a sweet, sweet taste within our mouths as we pray. And let the words that we utter be a wonderful fragrance in your very throne, Lord. Father, we know that you capture the prayers of the saints. Lord, I know that you hear us. And so we will lay our petitions before you. And Lord, just pray for George in the hospital at you would heal him from his high blood pressure. Let him get good reports. Take care of Miss Gail. I know she's concerned about him. Those who are taking care of them. Lord, all those who are in need right now, I ask you to meet their needs according to your riches and glory. And this is our prayer in the name of Jesus. And all the children shouted, Amen. Let's rush into it. We're going to love this first song. This is an oldie but goodie. Yeah. All right. I've been trying.
Oldie but goodie, yes.
Oh, an oldie but goodie.
Victory.
Revival by your fall. in this place.
Spirit of the living God.
In this place. You've taken habitation with us. And you promised to be with us. And you wanted us to be with you. And Lord, what we experience here in this building this day is just a foreshadow of things to come. For we know that one day we will shed these mortal bodies. And this mortal shall put on immortality, and this corruptible shall put on incorruption. And we shall be caught up to be with you, and we shall forever be with you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your visitation. Thank you, Lord, that we're not alone. Thank you, Lord, that we have nothing to fear, for you are with us, no matter where we go, no matter what we do. You are always with us. Blessed be your name, Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We praise you, Father. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed be your name forever and ever. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. Thank you, Lord. Father, we lift up our friend George Schmidt, Lord, who's in the hospital right now. And I know he's watching. Just sent me a text that he's watching us. And Lord, I pray for his divine healing. Let him get good reports, Father. Let him be able to leave that hospital and be united with his wife. And Lord, that he'll not have any more high blood pressure, but that you would give him a healing. Lord, you healed me of high blood pressure instantaneously. You just did it, Lord. And it's been a couple of years now. I haven't had to take any medication. Lord, I pray for that same miracle for George, that you would heal him. Touch him in that hospital room right now. Lay your hands upon him. Let your Holy Spirit hover over him. And let healing come to his body. Oh, hallelujah. We speak those things that are not as if they are. As we pray in Christ's name. We pray for Gail, Lord, that you'd encourage her. Build her up on our most holy faith. Lord, for all those who need a healing touch. For Miss Beverly, Lord. For Bob Lambert. For Becky's sister. Lord, who's dealing with that eye problem. Lord, it's just been going on and on. Lord, you are able to do these things. Pray for Miss Donna, Lord, who's not doing well this morning, that you would help her and encourage her. Lord, let it be so, let it be so, let it be so. And Father, as I think about that, as Errol just mentioned to me, that he needs a touch from you. Father, I ask you to heal him. Father, take the dizziness away, whatever the source of that is, and let your virtue touch him. Lord, you said if we would agree in prayer, whatever we'd ask in Jesus' name, according to your will, Lord, I know it's your will for us to be healed. We live in a fallen world. But you said that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set Errol free from the law of sin and death, which includes all sicknesses. So, Lord, I just pray for him. Father, those who are watching right now on the Facebook and YouTube and on our website and other places, Lord, even delayed broadcasts, those that are sick and need your touch, you are the healer You are the great healer. You came, Jesus, healing the sick. And Lord, you haven't lost your power. And you told us to pray and intercede. And so we do this morning. Let health come to all who are struggling, Lord. Those with COVID, for Walter Abney, Lord, in the hospital. Lord, you touch him and heal him. Lord, for David, my brother-in-law, who's suffering with cancer. Lord, I ask you to heal him and take this cancer away from him. For my dearest friend, Lord, for Bob Riles. Lord, reach out to where he is and heal him. And heal his wife from this cancer and his daughter from this cancer. Father, we need a touch from you. You said we could pray. Father, we pray, we intercede, we ask, Lord, that you would do this according to your divine will. Let it be so, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, guys. Great worship, great songs. Thanks for the oldie. What giddy. The horse and rider fell into the sea. When I was just a young Christian, that was we were, the charismatic movement was starting. We got rid of all the hymnals, and we just started singing the scriptures, and that's one of the songs that we sang. And it was just a real blessing. So, yes, Ms. Rose.
Okay. The Lord told me I have to give this testimony today.
Okay, there you go.
Have you ever wondered how much this God loved me? I used to wonder that. I thought about that many times, going to Loyola, prayer meetings, in home, in the college, and I often wondered, God, do you love me?
Mm-mm.
He always let me know by the very fact that the word was there, and we heard it preached, God loves us. My answer always was, yeah, yeah, I know that. I saw Jesus on the cross. That is not the answer. The answer is we each need a personal experience of the depth of the love of God.
Yes.
For us. If you have never had that, you pray for that and ask for that. The message today is going to be about prayer. But this has got to be a critically important thing for each one of us to do and to know. He manifested his love to me just recently through tragedy to me. Last Saturday, I was on the phone talking to Pastor Morris. And my beloved dog, Bo, my Bobo, my baby. He always meant so much to me. I loved him so much, and he loved me. I was on the phone with Pastor about 4:30 in the evening, and he was laying between the doorway from the living room to the kitchen. And while we are discussing, oh, we're going to have church tomorrow, people were calling me and asking me, he comes running out of there, past me, right to the kitchen door, and I opened the door, and he ran right out the door. So I figured, well, that's the normal thing he does from time to time. Little did I know what the extent of that was going to be. So when I hung up the phone with Pastor Morris, I walked out into the yard, and I have a big yard. I walked the perimeter of that whole yard, and I kept calling, Bobo, come by mama, baby. Come by mama. Mama's here, come see Mama. And I walked that whole yard and no boat. I even went to the gate and said, I don't think he would have gone out of the gate, but he didn't. So I said, he's got to be hiding in the bushes in the yard. So I called Charles. I said, Charles, come over here right away. I need you. Charles came. And I said, go look for Bo. He's in the bushes somewhere. Well, he found Bo. He was in the back end of one of the big bushes next to my deck, dying. And you wonder, what does this mean? That day, I took his face in my hands, and I looked him in his brown eyes, and I said, Bobo, I love you so much. And it was like he understood. Every time I did that, he looked at me and he understood. So Charles went out in the yard. He went to the bushes, and he found him in the back end of the bushes, dying, taking his last few breaths. And he took care of him and bury him for me in my yard, next to where my queenie was.
Oh, sweet. Oh, man.
God bless Charles, because Charles told me, Miss Rose, don't come back here. Don't see him die. That's the manifestation of the love of God, that God loved me so much that he took my bow out of the house where I would not see him die. The manifestation of the love of God so much that he did that for me. Now, it might not mean anything to any of you all, but it means all the world Amen. To me, because Amen. The revelation of the love of God for me was absolutely unbelievable. Then on top of that, my friend Brett, many of you have heard me speak of him before. The week before Bo died, Brett had to go in the hospital. He couldn't breathe. They took him into the hospital, kept him in there, did every kind of thing to him that you could probably think of, even putting a motor inside his heart to help to open it up to keep the blood flowing. Well, Bobo died Saturday, and I stayed home last week because I was grieving over him. And 3 days later, God called Brett, said, come home, son. Mm-hmm. We had our differences, and we had our ups and downs as friends. He lived in my house because he had no place else to go. Mm. And I gave him a place when Ricky moved from Michigan Avenue. Brett was on the street. He had no place to go. I told him, I said, I got a place in the back end of my house. You come stay here with me. And he did. He was there with me for about 5 years. The love of God manifested in this situation where all his fam was praying for him to get well. But God and Bo knew the day he walked out of that gate, he was never coming back. So God manifested to me his great love to me once again by hearing and answering my prayer. Because my prayer was, God, take him home. I led him to Jesus about 2 years ago, so he knew Jesus as his Savior.
Amen. Amen.
He never got born again to the fullness of the Spirit by the Holy Spirit, but he knew Jesus. And he often talked to people on the phone and said, well, why don't you call on Jesus? Why don't you ask Jesus this? Why don't you go to church and pray and ask Jesus? Mm-hmm. He did that. I used to hear him because he'd be sitting right at the sofa there next to me. So when last Saturday came and Charles buried Bo, my heart was broken then. But I said, God, got to be something about this situation with Brett being sick in the hospital, with Bo being sick, getting to dying. I said, there's got to be something here. Then you either want to teach me, or you want to show me, or I need to learn. That's when he gave me the revelation of his great love for me, that Bo didn't die at my house. And thank God Almighty for you, Charles, that you gave me the advice. Don't see him, Mr. Rose. You don't want to see this. Wisdom. That was supernatural wisdom on your part, Charles, and I thank God for it and for you. Then when Tuesday came, I had talked to his brother every day to find out how he was. And he told me, yeah, we're praying for him, we're praying for him. I didn't say a word. I said, mm-hmm, yeah, you pray for him. I knew in my heart he wasn't coming back home. When his daughter called me, 4:35 on Tuesday evening, and said, Miss Rose, Daddy's gone. He died at 4:35. I thanked her. We had a nice long talk together. We're gonna get together in the future. But I thank God once again for his great love that he heard and answered my prayer. They were all praying for him to get up out that bed and come home, but I wasn't praying that. I said, Father God, in Jesus' name, take him home out of his suffering. He suffered enough here in my house. He suffered there in the hospital. Take him home, God. Jesus, take him home. God heard and answered my prayer. And he showed me once again the revelation of his love for me, that he would honor my prayer because he knew my heart, that my heart was thankful that I led him to Jesus, and that my heart was happy that he was going home to be with Jesus. So if you ever have a question about does God love you, have no doubt in this world that God loves you beyond all that you can even think or imagine. That the love of God is greater than anything else. And I read a scripture, and it's in John's gospel, that says, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love.
Amen.
And Jesus came to show the love of the Father by all the wonderful things that he did, the healings, the miracles, and all the other things that he said and taught his people. But that scripture, I have never heard it interpreted to the way that God revealed it to me with such depth, that the might of his love just for me. So if you have never experienced the love of God in a deep experiential way, pray and ask for that, because he will give you some situation or some revelation of the prayer and the depth of the love of God just for you. And I am thankful to God Almighty that I met Wayne Pontier, who after a short time brought us here to this house,
Amen.
To this pastor, to this father. And I often look at you and I say, I know I'm older than you, but by a few years, but I look at you with such great respect.
Thank you,
as a father in the spirit realm, because it's been a long, long time since I had a father. And I love you.
Thank
and
you,
I respect
Rose.
You. And I hope and pray God gives you many years.
Amen.
Because of the wisdom that he has given you and the word that he has put in your mouth. I am so grateful for that.
Thank you, Miss Rose.
And for you, for being such a sweetheart, to uphold him, to pray for him, to look after him, and to build him up, because the two of you together are an immeasurable couple of the manifested love of God. In Jesus' name, I thank you.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Miss Rose. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen. You know, Miss Rose took in Brett when he didn't have a place to be, and she took in that dog. And you know, you might think, well, it's just an animal. No. Unless you've ever had a pet love you, I believe that God manifests His love to us many times through an animal. Where they have that unconditional love, they love us despite the things that we're doing, and it's a comfort to us. You know, animals are great. They're good for us. Maybe not a pet lion, but a pet dog. You might be good. You might be good to have. Thank you, Miss Rose, for sharing that. And I know it's touched your heart. Yes, ma'am. Miss Pat.
You know, I always think about when an opportunity presents itself, we should just run right into it. For most of you in this in our fellowship, y'all know Miss Rose, and we've heard so many beautiful testimonies and so many stories, but there's a lot of people that are watching who don't know Miss Rose. And I'd like to say this, not only to let them in on this beautiful secret, this jewel that is among us, and I think it's so fabulous that you wore blue today because you look like a sapphire. Just beautiful, Miss Rose. But I wanted to share, I just feel like the Lord just showed me this, because Miss Rose is talking about Bo, and we all have had pets that we've loved, and I mean, we had two little Pomeranians. One lived to be 17, and the other one lived to be 15. I mean, you know, and we all hear so many stories about each other's pets and what they mean to us. But I want to tell you this about Miss Rose. I have seen Miss Rose be the mother to so many young men who needed a mother. They needed the touch of a mother, the voice of a mother, the prayers of a mother, the encouragement of a mother, the patience of a mother, and that loving kindness of a mother. And Miss Rose doesn't have any natural children of her own, but she has a house full of spiritual children. And I just want to say, Miss Rose, you know, my daddy told one of the sweetest stories. I think he made this up himself. He said, you know, when God created man and woman, now let me tell the end of the story before you judge, okay? When God created Adam and Eve, he meant for Eve to be a slave to Adam. And Adam made a pet out of her. And man has had trouble ever since. My dad was hilarious, and he had a way of saying these funny little things that really brought things to light. And you know, I think a lot of times our husbands do treat us like little pets. You know, when we see how much people love pets, that's a good thing. It's a good thing. But Miss Rose, I think you have just drawn young men to you, and maybe sometimes you've made them your pets. But mostly I've seen many of them so impacted to be the men that they always wanted to be. you know, and certainly men who've longed for help and hope, and you were able to show it to them through Jesus Christ, and all the young men you've not only led to the Lord, but the ones that you've spoken truth to, and gave them, their life is better because of you, Miss Rose. And, we just have such high regard for you. We appreciate you so much. You walk out your Christianity just in such an incredible way. I love the term that our mission is to know Christ and to make him known. And you are the epitome of that, Miss Rose. Amen. That you lived your life knowing, coming to know Christ, and making him known to others. God bless you always.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Miss Pat. Good testimony. And Miss Rose. I'll tell you this, if you're ever in trouble and you need somebody to pray for you, call Miss Rose. This lady knows prayer. You know, I'm teaching on prayer. She knows more about prayer than I'll ever know. She's a delight to us and to our church and to the kingdom of God. So, with that said, let me just give you a little bit of, this is a little news information. Some of you may not be happy with what I'm about to tell you, but I'm going to tell you anyway, all right? There's a move to put a casino in Slidell in a 250-room hotel. I am opposed to it, and I am doing everything I can to stop it. So I want you to know that. There's a meeting tomorrow at the St. Tammany Parish Council in Mandeville. I think it's Mandeville, yeah. And it's going to be at 6 o'clock, so if y'all would be in prayer, I plan on going there and speaking my opposition. I'm going to be in a minority. A lot of people think a casino would be great. Casino is the last thing we need in this town.
That's right.
They bring nothing but disaster. Their motivation is to make money, and I'm not opposed to making money. That's a capitalist way of doing it. But they make it on the backs of people who go in looking for something that they can't find. We're not to be searching for... Money's not bad. The love of money is a root of many evils. But I think that the poor, the elderly, frequent casinos, and they are, it just hurts them. Statistically, I've been doing some study on it, that in Louisiana, there are, based on our population and the number of people that have gambling-related issues, because gambling is such a big item in Louisiana, you can thank our ex-governor, Edwards, not John Bell Edwards, I'm talking about the other Edwards, who wanted to get this riverboat gambling, and they got it in the town, in the state of Louisiana. About 6% of our population suffer from gambling-related issues. All right. Based on the population of St. Tammany, if you apply that 6% to it, that means we'll have about an excess of 15,000 people with gambling-related issues. And some of them who get really addicted to these games and things. So there's no way that it's good. And I know that some of you like to gamble and go to the casinos for entertainment. You know my position on it. I'm not in favor of it. But I don't want a jail here to force people to do it. I think it needs to be done or should do or you shouldn't do. That's your decision to make. But there's nothing good in casinos. In case you don't know it, it's all fixed, you know. You can't win. If you play long enough, you'll consistently lose. That's why they have so much money. Why do you think they offer all these free hotel rooms and free buffets and all the other frees? If it looks too good to be true, I can promise you it's too good to be true, all right? I know for a fact, because of being in the hotel business, we had a hotel in Nevada. And that hotel has a secret room, and all of them have it, where there's a computer system that runs every electronic game in the building. And by I say run it, what they can do, they can dial up or dial down your ability to make money off of those machines. So percentages that it'll pay off. What they did at this particular hotel is there was a glass wall that was right on the street where people could see in, and they had a bunch of slot machines. When business got slow at a casino, they would change the odds on those machines right by the window so that people would hit. And they, you know, those casino, these things make a lot of noise, they have bells and ring, and people would get excited because they're winning money on the slot machines. So as soon as people from the outside would come in and they had the right amount of people that they thought they should have, they would just change the odds on those machines by the windows. And the people who were winning would stop winning. That is control. And they control all of these things. So I'm just not in favor of it. I don't think there's anything good about it. And so I'll be speaking about that tomorrow. You'll be hearing some more about that. I'm sure my name will be maligned, but that's okay. It's been maligned before. Pat?
Well, Martha, I want to make a correction.
Yes.
We had a client.
Yeah, I didn't own the hotel. No. If I'd owned the hotel, I'd have got rid of the gambling, believe me. No, we did a hotel, and we just did the hotel end of it where you could pay your bill and the other things. That's just the business that I was in. So I learned about gambling through there.
Would you like to have a sheet of paper where everybody can sign their name that you could take with you tomorrow?
That would be an idea. I don't want to say that's not a good idea. If you want to voice your opposition, I'll tell you what, give me some time and I'll get together something a little bit more organized than that, and maybe get a petition of some kind.
Awesome.
And so that we can let our voices be heard. All right, it's just not good. We just don't need it. Our community is doing great, as you know from the book. By the way, if you haven't gotten a copy of the book, there's a copy in the back that you can get. The book's at $7. It's Slidell, Our Kind of Town. It's a story of what God's been doing in Slidell through you and through me, through this church, in the last 8 years, and it's an amazing story. So they've got, we got a good thing going. Let's not mess it up. Right. Oh, and while I'm talking about things that, you know, somebody, I don't know if this is a truism, if I'm going to say it correctly, you know, there's no ill wind that doesn't bring something good with it. Well, we would all admit that COVID and all the related things to it are terrible. But I heard that this year, for the first time probably in ever, Mardi Gras is being canceled.
I know.
In fact, they're shutting down Bourbon Street. You won't be able to buy any booze on Bourbon Street. I'll tell you, that is amazing. You know, just amazing. That what's happening, they're shutting the street down so people won't be able to get down in the French Quarter during this time because they don't want them to catch COVID. Well, they had something worse to catch than COVID during Mardi Gras, so that's one of my pet peeves. So it's being shut down. Again, I hope you don't get upset with me. I don't preach about behavior very much, but some things that just need to be talked about, and Mardi Gras is a disaster. Nothing good happening in Mardi Gras. And people say, well, the kids like the parades. There's a lot of ways to entertain kids without bringing them to some place with a bunch of drunks and beads and debauchery and naked people running around. I mean, just don't need it. And so I'm just glad it's shut down. I know it's going to be a big economic impact on New Orleans not to have that money. And it'll affect Slidell, too. But my response to that is, suck it up and get over it, and then we'll go on. There are other ways for us to prosper. We don't need that. I don't know why I'm going on about that. I just heard it on the radio. I was probably the only person in 1,000 miles. I went, yeah! They're closing in Mardi Gras for a day. Oh, well. So let's get back to the subject at hand, and that's prayer. We've started last week in the subject, and we're going to continue this week, and next week is Valentine's, so I'm going to do a Valentine message, all right? And then the following week, I'll wrap this up, and then we'll get into Easter's coming up. We'll be doing some things about Easter. So, let's see, Jim, if you'll give me my PowerPoint, I'd appreciate that. The topic today is kind of a continuation of last week about Lord teach us to pray. And I want to talk about some of the opportunities that present themselves when we do pray. We were using for this little mini-series Luke 11:1. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray." That's a pretty smart question, asked Jesus. "Lord, teach us to pray," just as John taught his disciples. When you've experienced prayer and you've prayed and your prayers have failed by your determination, didn't produce your expected results, what should you do? Well, I mentioned to you last week, there's some questions that come up with that. Does God answer all our prayers? And I address that. The answer to that is not the way you may think that he would. All right? But it's not that he doesn't hear. Does God answer every prayer in the Bible? And I gave you some illustrations where he didn't. The most famous one is Jesus talked about in the garden as he prayed, "Lord, if it be possible, take this cup from me, but nevertheless your will be done." It was an unanswered prayer. Thank goodness for us. And do we have unrealistic expectations in our prayers? Again, I spoke about that last week. You can go to YouTube and look up my name, and you can find that if you want to find it. Go to my Facebook page, Morris San Angelo, or the our website, New Beginnings Net Church, and you can see those videos. And if all of that fails, ask somebody in the media room, and they'll give you a CD or a DVD with that message on it. So let's look at last week, just quick recap. I talked about Jesus' explanation about prayer. That same passage that we just looked at, I explained to you that the word pray, in the Greek, is a word prosunomei. That's my Italian version of that Greek word, which means, as I explained to you, it's a combination of two words that are put together. The first word is P-R-O-S, and it means to move towards or to exchange something. Exomei means to wish. Sometimes that's where we get the idea of prayer from. And it's the idea of that word, as I went into great detail to explain to you, it's an exchange that takes place, an exchange of wishes between us and between God. We ask, and he explains, and he tells us his desires. It's a communication more than anything else. It's not a list. You know, we bring a laundry list. God bless mama, God bless daddy. You know, now I'll lay me down to sleep. Pray the Lord for soul to keep. Those are words that we put together, but that's not real prayer. Prayer is this exchange between God the deity and us men and women that God tells us to do. Literally, it means to interact with God, switching human wishes for God's wishes, and God imparts in that process faith so that we can believe and trust God. What do we do? You know, I mentioned to you all the disasters that we've experienced, you know, with COVID and lockdowns and praying earnestly for the election. It didn't go the way most people in the South, in the red states, wanted. So what do? We trust God. You know, it's been the faith of the church for over 2,000 years that has sustained us in some of the most horrific things you could ever imagine. And if the church is going to last for another 2,000 years, it'll exist because of faith. Now abideth faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love, is God's love for us. So without preaching last week's sermon, Jesus' determination about prayer, 1 John 5:14 and 15, this is a confidence that we have in approaching God. So we can have confidence when we approach God. That if we ask anything according to his will, and there is a key phrase there, according to his will, he hears us, and we know that he hears us, and we know if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have when we have asked of what we have asked of him. Can read this one, okay? The confidence is that we pray according to his will. So that's the key to it. What is God's will? So often we want our will done without interchanging in prayer, God, what do you want to do with the situation? I appreciate what Miss Rose said, and that's it's a difficult prayer to pray when someone's dying, for Brett, when he was dying. And Miss Rose knew he had been suffering. He lived with her for, as she said, about 5 years in her home. And she provided a place for him to be. And he was suffering with a lot of sickness and maladies. And the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, I believe, would teach you to pray that way, God's will. It's time for him to go home. It's a time for all of us to go home. It's a time to live and it's a time to die, all right? Time to be born, it's time to die. So there's a great philosopher and theologian, Bud Pomez. Most of you don't know Bud anymore. Bud used to be a member of this church. And Bud had these great words of wisdom. He said, "Ain't nobody getting out of this place alive."
That's right.
I can hear Bud saying that over and over, ringing in my ears. And those of you who knew Bud would remember that. So we need to pray according to God's will. So it's incumbent upon us to seek God. God, what is your will in this matter? What do you want to do? And whatever it may be. So today I want to pick up with Jesus' proclamation about prayer. Luke 11:2. And he said to them, "When you pray," that's pretty good. He expects us to pray. "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come.'" We proclaim, first of all, that God is our Father. Miss Rose said that she looks at me as a spiritual father. I really appreciate that. That's an honor. Then we're his children. And there's a relationship between the children and their parents, particularly the idea of God being our Father. That was a completely new concept when Jesus brought it to his age, when he was here, when he was walking planet Earth. Nobody had ever thought of that before. They thought about Father Abraham, you know, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but they didn't equate that idea of fatherhood to God. And Jesus brought that concept to them. We honor our earthly fathers. We're supposed to honor our parents, and we honor them, and we're to honor our spiritual father. He deserves honor. We listen to him. We interact with him, and we don't demand from our earthly father, and we shouldn't demand from our heavenly father. There's a great story in the Bible, and it's a great story, it's a great account, of a guy that we call the prodigal son. We don't know his name. His name is the prodigal son. That's what everybody knows him as. And he was a rotten kid, and he demanded that his father give him his inheritance. He had no right to that inheritance to demand it. His father gave it to him. If I would have went to my earthly father and said, "Dad, I want my inheritance now," I'd still be in the hospital recovering from that demand. I mean, if you knew my little Italian dad, he wouldn't take nothing like that from me. I tried to demand my way with him, and he convinced me that that was not in my best interest. I was having one of those teenage boys endeavors one time, and many of you heard the story. I don't want to repeat the whole thing. But I was determined that I could come home when I wanted to come home and not according to his schedule when he wanted to come home. And he told me to, you know, make sure I got home at a reasonable hour, that my mother worried about me. I was an only child. And I just had that teenager attitude. And the next night I came in an hour later. And my dad talked to me again. The next night I came in an hour later. Finally, I came in around 4 o'clock in the morning. And my dad was getting ready to go to work. He went to work early. And I went in my room, and he was eating breakfast, and I walked in my room and took my stuff out and put it on the dresser and turned off the lights and climbed in bed to get some sleep. And the lights came on, and my dad was up there, said, "What are you doing?" he picked up his car keys. He said, let's see how late you can stay out without a car. He took the car away. I thought that was ridiculous that my dad took my car away from me. The fact that the title belonged to him, you know, and he was supporting me, I've learned a very valuable lesson. I walked for about 6 months. And my dad wouldn't give me that car back. So just a story of honor and respect belong to fathers, and multiply that by infinity is what we owe God the Father. Amen. And when people tell me this, well, God didn't do what I wanted to do. Well, gee whiz, God, the creator of the universe didn't listen to you. You know, you're a speck on a planet in the middle of this giant universe, and he didn't listen to you. You know, you're lucky he didn't squish you. I had a friend of mine who was said one time, he said, God could squish us like a bug anytime he wanted to. That's kind of an ugly image, but I understood what he meant. So we don't demand from our Heavenly Father, and we don't ask for what our Father has no responsibility to give us. Sometimes we ask for things that God has no responsibility to give us. And as a matter of fact, as a good Father, he won't give us things that'll be harmful to us. I went through that, I'm sure you did as a child, and you learned that when you were a teenager, you knew everything. When you got to be about 25 or so, you realized how smart your parents really were. You know, they knew, especially when you had your own kids. Somebody said that the grandkids are God's rewards for your parents not killing you. You know, to your parents, not to you. Our attitude that should permeate our prayers is, this is what we'd like to have, and we realize we have no right to demand it. That's the kind of attitude we need to have in prayer. Father, this is what we'd like to have. This is what we believe would be good, but we submit to your will. We always submit to the will of God. We set the stage for prayer from the book of Psalms, Psalms 100. You've heard me say this countless times in this church because it's one of the ways I like to pray. It says, enter his gates with thanksgiving. I highlighted that for you. And his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Now, let's stop and look at this for just a minute. We enter what? His gates. The gates were the gates that were around the temple area. And you had to go through a gate to get in. You had to use a gate to get into the city even. So as we enter into the arena where God would, in effect, dwelling in the temple area, we enter with thanks. It's not, our Heavenly Father, I need A, B, C, D, E, and F. Now, by the way. Or we go in and we say, Father, I thank you for A. I thank you for B. I thank you for C. Thank you for D. And so our attitude when we want to pray is first to thank God for what he's done. I've discovered, and many of you have discovered, that by the time you get finished thanking God for what he's already done, sometimes the thing that you want him to do seems to diminish. You know, when you realize the goodness of God. There's so much to be thankful for. I get irritated with myself and irritated with people who are so aggravated about life. If you live in this country, the United States of America, with all of its faults and with all the swamp creatures in Washington, D.C., you need to be thankful. You could be living down in Honduras or someplace down in South America, walking in a long line of people trying to get into this country. I heard a man one time, he was a singer, and he had made a worldwide tour, and he was an African-American man, and I went to the first concert he gave when he got back, and he said, I've just been around the world. He said, there's no place like the USA. He said, if you don't like it here, you can get in line to leave, and you'll be the first person in line to leave.
That's true.
Jones. He'll be the first one. He said, that's not so around the world. They have lines and lines of people who want to get in. So the fact is we're here ought to keep you praying with thanks to God just to be here. I mean, to have a house. I've been down to Mexico several times, not on business, on this kind of vacation type situations. And the poverty of people in Mexico, people living in huts. I mean, mud huts with mud floors. People living that way today. And you have a house and you think it's too small because it's only 1,500 square feet. And you won't be happy until you have 2,500 square feet. Let me tell you what, when you get 2,500 square feet, you want 4,500 square feet. You know, there's always the idea of wanting more. But we need to be thankful. When we enter God's presence, thank you that you let me in. Thank you that you listened to me. Thank you for what you've done for me. Thank you for my salvation. Thank you for my health. Thank you for delivering me from that accident. Lord, thank you for taking care of me when my dog was dying. Lord, thank you for Charles who came and helped me. Lord, just over and over, there's so much to be thankful for.
Yes, yes.
I think sometimes God probably wrings his hands about us for being so unthankful to him. In fact, I believe it's in the book of Hosea, if I'm not mistaken. I can't give you a chapter and verse, but God said, you know what really ticks me off? This is the St. Angelo version of it. You know what really ticks me off? You know, I caused the rain to come and the sunshine to come, and I caused the crops to grow, and I caused food. And he went with this litany of things that he did. And then, you know what really makes me mad? Is nobody ever thanks me for what I did for him. You can go read it for yourself. You can read it in the King James. I think my version says it better. You know, prayer needs to begin with thankfulness for what God's already done and not with a panic about things that you want to have done. And it says we enter his courts. Now, the courts were where only, you know, the right people went in. You know, it was kind of a set-aside area. In fact, they had a wall in the temple area. And they had signs. They found these signs. I mean, this is historically correct. It says that any Gentile, or in effect any unbeliever, who went into the courts was subject to death. That's what the sign said. And we have the privilege of entering into the inner sanctum behind the wall. In fact, Paul said that God broke down the middle wall of partitioning. That's what he was talking about, that wall, and lets us go in. We have access into the holy place where only the high priest could go. And how do you enter into that place? Oh, hi, Pop, so good to see you. You enter in with praise, thankfulness and praise, worship. God, how great you are. I know Miss Rose studied out the names of God and to go Elohim, you know, Adonai, praying God's names to him. A good study for you is to get those names and what they mean. It's a good way to pray and praise when you enter into God's presence. So you go thankfulness, praising him for who he is. Remember when Jesus on Palm Sunday was going down, people were shouting and people said, shut him up. And he said, if they don't praise me, the rocks will praise me. So he deserves our praise and adoration for who he is. That sets the stage for us to go in and have this interchange with God. Amen. About our petitions. There are things that are important to us. God wants to hear our version of the story. And what, you know, why we want things, why we need things, what's on our hearts, what's on our minds. And we know that if we pray according to his will, he hears us. And that he can answer those petitions. But make sure when you go in that you know what God, what his will is. Now, you won't always know. That's the fallacy of life. We don't always know. But here's where faith kicks in. Lord, I trust you in this matter. Now, we were praying during the election, and I didn't pray that way. If you were here on Wednesday night, you heard me pray. God, don't let Joe Biden win the election. Let give us Donald Trump. That was my prayer. I never once said, God, let your will be done. You know why? I didn't trust God. You know, I wanted my will to be done. I'm just being honest with you, folks. A lot of us prayed that way. But now that it didn't go our way, we have to say, maybe we had something wrong here. And the something wrong is God allows things to happen that for reasons that we do not know about and we will never know about. Let me give you an example of that. The disciples came to Jesus. Jesus was telling about things that were going to happen, you know, in the end times. All this is going to happen. And they said, Jesus, when is all this going to happen? And he said, I don't know. And it's none of your business. The Father knows. And he's not telling us. That's my St. Angelo paraphrase again. It's mind your own blooming business. Do what I told you to do. Don't worry about things like that. Somebody came to him about John. What was it, John? And I think it was Peter and John. And Peter said, well, what about John? And Jesus said to him, it's none of your business. You go do what I told you to do. That's the little scenario when Jesus said, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know I love you. That little scenario right there. There's some things just none of our business. We said, Lord, this is your universe. I'm your child, your father, and I submit myself to you. By the way, while I'm on this subject, just because I haven't ruffled enough feathers yet, if you're listening out there, let me ruffle just a few more. It's one of my pet peeves. This is Pet Peeve Sunday. All right? I don't know how this got so messed up, but I know great men and women of God who say, when I pray, Daddy, that is, where did you get that from?
Abba.
Abba, he said, Abba. You know what Abba is? It's Father in Aramaic. Jesus' native language was probably Aramaic. He said Father in Hebrew, and then he said Abba in Aramaic. He's just saying in two different languages. That is not a quaint phrase to give you permission to call God Daddy. All right? He's our Heavenly Father. He deserves more than being called a chum buddy daddy. Say, well, he loves us. Well, he loves us, but he will also do some respect here.
That's right.
So, you could disagree with that, but I challenge you to go study and look up in the language. There are a lot of study guides. Go to BibleHub.com. It'll give you the original language, and you'll see I'm telling you the truth on that matter. So, we need to have the right attitude. Enter his gates with thanksgiving in our heart. Enter his courts with praise. Then we're ready to bring our petitions before God. There was a Confederate soldier. Nobody knows who he is. He wrote this. I guess they must have found it on the battlefield somewhere. I want to read it to you. I asked God for strength that I might achieve. I was made weak that I might learn humbly to obey. I asked for health that I might do great things. I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might have the praise of men. I was given weakness that I might feel the need for God. I asked all things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing that I asked for, but everything I hoped for. Almost despite myself, my unspoken prayers were answered. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? What a great attitude that guy had. So, okay. One more thing here. Jesus's opportunities through prayer. Luke 11:3-4. Give us each day our daily bread and forgive us our sins. The Greek word there actually is sins or failures. For we also forgive everyone who sins. And this is a mistranslation. The Greek word there is indebted. It's not sins. It's completely different than this one here. And I don't know why the translators did that, except that's probably what they thought was right, but they were wrong. Again. Isn't it nice to have somebody who can critique the theologians and the translators? I barely know English, but I know how to study. And lead us not into temptation. They say one of the reasons we go to college is not to learn, but to learn how to study. You know, that's what, you know, so we see these things and we peel them out. We ask, expecting God will give us our needs. That's a father's responsibility. Our daily bread. God knows we have need of food. I don't know about you, but this is my testimony. You just fill in the blank if it's yours. I've never gone hungry. Never. I've felt hungry, but that's hunger is when you hadn't eaten for a week. I've never had that situation. I've never gone thirsty. There's only one time I was really thirsty in my life. I went hunting with this Mississippi country boy. I'm a city boy. Running through the woods with him, chasing after I don't know what, you know, with guns. And I was so worn out. I was dying of thirst. I wasn't smart enough to bring water. You know, you think you would be smart. Not if you live in the city, there's a water fountain somewhere. You know, you don't have to worry about that. So I was parched. My tongue was swelling up. I mean, I was hungry. There wasn't water within 100 miles of where we were. And we broke into a little clearing, and there was a tent. And there was two men and a young boy. And there was a cooler. And that boy had just opened up that cooler and pulled out a 2-liter bottle of Coke. And the water was just dripping off of it, you know. Looked like one of those it was coming off of it. And I looked at that thing, and I thought, I'm getting that water if I got to shoot that boy. But I'm getting that water, Coke. And I said, could I have some of your Coke? And he said, sure, mister, you can have some. And he gave me a little cup, and he gave it to me. I was so glad, because I'd be in jail for murder. But I mean, that's how thirsty I was. That's the only time in my life that I've been really, really thirsty. So God knows our needs. He provided manna in the desert. There was nourishment for the people. God provides clothes for our bodies. I don't know anybody who doesn't have enough clothes. Yeah. If you got 2 shirts, you got more than most people in the world have. All right? If you got 2 pair of shoes, you got more than most people in the world have. We've got more than we need. I'm sure any one of us, any of you listening to me right now, those of you in the building, you could go home, get rid of 90% of the stuff that you have, and you'd still have more than you need. We've been blessed. God has blessed us. They have a roof over our head, a house to live in. I know they're poor people that don't have everything. They live in places where they'd rather live in another place. Well, I used to live, now this sounds like, you know, well, it's just preacher talk. I came up poor. I mean, really, really poor. My story, as my wife doesn't believe it, it's true. We used to have weenie stew during the week, and on Sunday, we got to eat the weenie. Otherwise, we were just eating the broth. I mean, we were poor. My dad worked hard. He was a laborer, but we were poor. But I didn't know it. I mean, I was happy. My mother and dad loved me, and wiener stew was good for me. I graduated to Vienna sausage. And if you want to have a real treat, eat Vienna sausage and Oreo cookies together. Oh, man. That's when we got rich. We had good food. Sounds terrible, doesn't it? I don't know why I told you that. That's terrible. You even mention that. I used to think spam was steak. You know, that we had that. But I mean, we've had a roof over our heads. We always... I never had to sleep out in the rain. I know sometimes people run into hard times and that happens. There's a way out of that. It's a four-letter word. Starts with a W. So W-O-R-K. You go to work, you get a job. Say, well, I want a job that fulfills me. Do you want to live in a pup tent? Or do you want to live in a house? Get a job. And I don't care whether it fulfills you. The fulfillment is somebody gives you a paycheck. Yes. And if you don't think you're getting paid enough, learn a skill and get a better job. I'm not very sympathetic to people who say, well, I'm not satisfied with the work I have. The only satisfaction I ever had from work was getting paid. Amen. That's it. Did I do stuff on? I used to. I owned my own business and I didn't like it. I hated it because I had to travel. I hated getting on a plane and flying to Timbuktu somewhere, but I did it because they paid me a lot of money to go. And I came home and spent the money on my wife and daughter and cars. just the way it is, folks. I believe money is meant to be earned and to build your status in life. And I know some of you in this room, and I've talked to you, you've done that. You learned skills, and you learned skills in order to do better things. In fact, I'm reading a book right now about this World War II vet. He was a medic, and he was in Africa and Sicily and Normandy. And, I mean, he got all shot up, you know, trying to help people and saving lives and all that stuff. Well, he came back after the war. It took him a couple of years to recover from his battle wounds. He went to work. He ended up owning, he's got a high school education. He ended up owning several businesses. He invented something that had to do with heat transfer and made money with that. And he lived to be over 100 years old, one of the most decorated men of World War II. And he just came home and went to work. He didn't come home and cry. He had PTSD. They didn't know it was PTSD. He had nightmares from what he went through and the wounds he had inflicted and the wounds that he saw. But he came home, he made a life for himself, for his wife and his family, and he did well. That's a good old work ethic. It's being lost in our nation.
Yes.
You know, people are expecting things. Well, I want the government to pay my tuition bills. Well, you know how my wife got through college? She worked her way through. Other girls were out having fun. She was working. They have enough money to pay for her food and pay for her tuition because her parents weren't rich enough to give her the money to go to school. But she got a college education that way. You know how much money I owed to people when I graduated from college? Nothing. Yeah. Paid for it. Work my way through. Oh, well, we won't have time to enjoy ourselves. When I went to college and my dad was paying for it, I enjoyed myself on my dad's dime and flunked out of college. When I had to pay my own way, I got A's. Man. Don't get mad with me. I'm just telling you the way I believe and what I think and what I've experienced in my life. Say, well, it's so expensive now. Well, maybe you don't need a college education. Maybe you can learn a trade. Nothing wrong with a trade, knowing how to use your hand. One of the smartest men I know is sitting in this room right now, and that's my buddy Nick. He's a trade. The guy's absolutely brilliant. You sit down and talk to Nick for a little while, you'll find out how dumb you are. I mean, he knows stuff. He knows how to work with his hands. He's a helicopter mechanic. He can fix anything except to break a day. You know, he's just got great capabilities. But I don't think you have a college education, do you? No. Gee whiz, you mean you made a good life and got a beautiful house over there and all the things you've got, and you did it without a college education. See, work can do it. Just go to work. You don't need. A lot of kids go to college and they get degrees and they can't get a job. Well, who wants to hire a historian? Or somebody who's got to, knows how to paint? or some other ridiculous things that you get college degrees with that you pay a fortune for. You ought to come out of school with knowing how to do something. Exactly. My wife came out of college with something she knew how to do. She's an accountant. She's a business major. I got the same degree myself. I could get a job. I've never been without a job. Because I had a skill that I could use.
Yes,
I learned that in college. I didn't go to college because I wanted to. I went to college because I wanted to make more money. That's my motivation. Anyway, I'm just trying to say God has blessed us. Amen. You know, and he's willing to bless us. In fact, the Bible says, those that don't work, what's the rest of that? They don't eat. You want to eat steak? Get a job. Make more money. Open a cattle farm. I don't know. Matthew chapter 6 says, God knows our needs. I love that. It's one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, is chapter 6, when he says, look at the birds, look at the flowers. They don't do a thing. Your Heavenly Father takes care of them. Not even Solomon in all his glory was dressed like one of these flowers of the field. That's here today and cut down the wall. If your Father in heaven takes care of the birds of the air and the flowers, just regular, ordinary flowers, not azaleas or something beautiful, just regular old flowers, how much more will he take care of you? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. What does our scripture say up there? Give us our daily bread, forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sins or is indebted against us, and lead us not into temptation. Looking to God, trusting God to meet our needs. We experience God's forgiveness. In fact, this is in Luke, but in Matthew, talks about debts. Forgive us our debts. You forgive us our debts. Our indebtedness to you. We're indebted to God for everything that he does for us. God forgives us our sins, our indebtedness. And he tells us in the same way to forgive other people. Remember the story about the guy who had this big debt? And it was forgiving him. Yes. And he went and found somebody that owed him money and beat the guy up and slammed him and threw him in jail. I mean, that's not a Christ attitude. We ought to receive from the Lord and give unto others. You know, find people in need. Somebody owes you something. I had a story. Guy owed me some money. It wasn't much money. It was a couple $100. He had done some work for me. He didn't do the work, and he owed me the money. And I tried to get him to pay me, and he wouldn't. And it was driving me crazy. And my dear friend, Bill Borshett, who's a guy who will tell you what you need to know, not what you want to hear. And I was lamenting with Bill about, this guy owes me this money. And Bill said, if you get that money, is your life going to change? I said, no. He said, if you don't get it, is your life going to change? I said, that's not the point. He said, it is the point. He said, why don't you give it to God? I hate it when people are right. And so Bill and I prayed together. I said, Lord, I give you this money. It is yours. That guy owes you. He doesn't owe me. I don't want the money. Thank you for it, that I don't need it, and I let it go. Well, just on a lark, I would call the guy. I've been trying to get in touch with him for months. He answered his phone. And he said, oh, Mr. St. Angelo, I know you owe that money, you know, and I'm going to get it to you. I said, no, you don't owe me the money. I gave it to God. You know, you owe God the money. You don't owe me. No. I owe you the money. In fact, I'll be over there right now. I'll bring you some cash. I said, no, don't bring me any cash. I don't want the money. It's between you and God. I really don't want it. He said, aren't you pastor of a church? And I said, yes, I am. He said, I'll tell you what. I'm coming over there, and I want you to give the money to God in your church. I said, okay. So he showed up, gave me a couple $100. I came to the church. I filled out an envelope. And I said, God, you are really funny. You know, you're really funny. I'm going to give you the money that I wanted. And I did. I put it in the coffers for the church. So we ask, we forgive. We don't let the money rule us. We see this principle with the prodigal son. When he came home, his father didn't berate him. His father loved him. God loves us and cares about us. Miss Rose was talking about that earlier. We see that Joseph and his brothers, he could have, Joseph's a type of Christ. You know, he could have, you know, really got on his case. He didn't. He just said, you know, okay, God had a bigger plan. You know, you don't need to be afraid of me. And of course, we see it with Jesus on the cross when he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. So that's the attitude in prayer. In this scripture is you see the goodness of God and the love of God, willing to forgive us for our faults. And we see the request of God of us to love other people. It's the first commandment. Love the Lord God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's the way we ought to live our lives. And we ask God to keep us from temptation. That's a bad translation, but it says, lead us not into temptation. God's not in the leading into temptation business. It's to keep us from temptation. Amen. And also that we won't be tempted to do things and say things that we shouldn't do. All this sets the stage for us to pray. So prayer is not a running in with a list. It's worshiping God, understanding God. God knows our needs. God will meet our needs according to his riches and glory, not according to our ability. And we trust him. If God wants you to prosper, he'll prosper you. But he won't prosper you if you ask and won't do your part. You know? So there's some things that we need to do ourselves. If you don't like the way things are run in politics, why don't you ask God if you can run for politics? Get involved in the system. Do something. Be a doer. I don't know how people are finding out my name. You know, I really don't have time to fool with the gambling casino issue. But people are calling me from Baton Rouge and Hammond and other places. Asking me, saying, I understand you're heading up the opposition to the casino. I just found out about this the other day. I don't know nothing. You know, so, and people are asking me to help head this up. I really don't want to do it, but it fits my criteria. God said, get busy in Slidell. This is Slidell, so I'll do it in Slidell. But be a doer and not a hearer. Get involved and don't sit on the sidelines. Every scripture we see about God answering prayer must be filtered through these things that I'm telling you right now, so that when we pray, we'll have a better understanding of how we should pray. We can ask God anything, but we need to pray in such a way that when we ask, we say, Lord, I submit to you. If this is not the best for me and my family, and I'm okay with it either way. You need to pray with a sense of ambivalence. You know, whatever you want to do, God's fine with me. And I think our prayer life will be better. And I know that our mental understanding will be better. We'll have a better understanding of God and our relationship with him. Okay, I'm going to stop there. And in 2 weeks, we'll pick up from that. Next week, wear red. Come to church and wear red. I don't think we're going to have our usual Valentine party that we normally have. COVID has just kind of killed most of that stuff. I don't think anything's going to happen. But there are powers greater than me that will make that decision. Yes. They're in the church somewhere. So if something happens, I'll let you know. But as far as I know, we'll just have a good time here by ourselves next week. And who knows, we might even break down and let somebody bring some cookies in and maybe make a pot of coffee. We haven't done that in a long time because of COVID. But so we may do something like that. It'll be simple, whatever it is, because I don't want us to be exposed to anything unduly. Okay, so and in 2 weeks, we'll get back to about praying and knowing how to receive. Okay, that's going to be our next topic. Okay, y'all done? You finished? Everybody tired of listening to me? Huh? I'm tired of talking to you. I've told you everything I know. I'm out of gas. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for watching on YouTube. I hope the YouTube's working. This is new. We haven't been YouTubing before. I think we got some people watching live. I hope we don't have any dead people watching. I hope you're alive out there. And our Facebook folks and our regular internet folks, thank all of you. Let's stand and we'll be dismissed in prayer. Hallelujah.